Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock, four lines wide open, 860-522-9842. And our lovely producer, Carolyn, wanted to let me know that along with allowing the fact that they women may not want to have their TVs in the living room, they're also allowed to vote. So she was very clear to make sure I knew that.
Women, what can't we do?
Exactly.
No one tell Eric I've been back here for almost 4 years.
When it came out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble.
You should have seen his face. He saw the canceled posts on Twitter in that moment.
It's trending. Usually it's getting it through committee at my house. I have to get things through committee. And, of course, the committee is of two. But, yes, Bonnie and her husband have figured that out in their committee. But, yes, I just want to make sure I'm aware of all that. And I thank Carolyn for setting me straight. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And we want to remind you that we are happy to take your e-waste. We're going to have an e-cycle event. Now, as opposed to electric bikes, it has nothing to do with electric bikes. There was some folks that were confused about our event where they thought it was e-cycling had to do with bicycling, which is a thing. I have an electric e-bike. I love it. And, you know, it's a great thing. But, no, we're not doing anything with e-cycling. It's not a biker. It's not like a Sturgis of East Hartford event where you get together with your e-cycles. We want you to e-cycle your electronics, your e-waste, stuff you're not going to use anymore, responsibly. And we'll take it off your hands for free, thanks to our partnership with Environmental Office Solutions in East Hartford as well. If you happen to have ink cartridges, they love those things. That's it. If you bring ink cartridges, they'll love you forever. But laptops, PCs, cell phones, printers, LCD monitors, they'll take them all from you and responsibly recycle them so they don't end up in the landfill. And that's what we're just trying to do here. It's happening this Saturday at the Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters in East Hartford, where East Hartford has deemed our street unworthy, and they have blocked it off for some reason. It's one way for crying out loud in the first place. Now it's no way. But somebody over there thinks that's a good idea. So you'll have to put it in your ways, and you'll be able to get there through parking lots and back routes to get to the e-cycling event. Still very easy. You'll come through and drop off your stuff with us. And again, you shouldn't have to worry about the data. I tell you to back it up and get everything off of it you don't want, but it'll be properly wiped and clean so that you don't have to worry about any of your data after it's been e-cycled. So keep that in mind for next Saturday, 9 to noon in East Hartford, 29 Bissell Street. You can't go down that street anymore. East Hartford is where we are. So let's get to your calls. Lucille in Glastonbury's got a call. What's going on, Lucille?
Yes, I seem to have a virus on my phone.
Oh, boy.
And I was wondering if there's a good virus protection for the phones.
Why do you think you have a virus on your phone? Let's start with that.
Because every once in a while, I'll go to do something and it'll come up and say, you have a virus. So I'm not sure I do. I don't say okay because I don't want whatever's telling me it.
All right.
What kind of virus?
What kind of phone do you have, Lucille? Is it an Android or an Apple?
Samsung.
A Samsung Android, then. And
yes.
Okay. And when you are doing something, what are you doing when that comes up on your phone? Because my phone doesn't do anything without me within an app of some kind. Are you browsing using a?
I'm usually in Facebook.
Ah.
And it'll be a little article, and I'll go to there are two I never go into, and that's Battleborn and Real Shock.
Okay.
It always comes up when I go into them.
So you're going on links through Facebook. So you're on the Facebook
yes.
app, and then you're going to links. What happens then? It was when you go to those links, you're going through a browser. So what's
okay.
happening is you're getting a browser hijack that you would find on a computer typically, where it's going to say, "Hey, you have a virus. Call this number." So
right.
I would bet you don't have a virus. Your phone is not that, they don't care about you that much, and neither does whatever you're using to tell you you have a virus. So I would suspect you do not have one. But where you're going, there's lots of people who are being tricked into clicking on whatever that you have a virus link is to then call a phone number to then have them have, you know, then really get tricked. What do you
right.
think, Dennis?
That I don't do.
Yeah, I was as soon as you mentioned that you're seeing these in Facebook or after you've been on Facebook or opened a link on Facebook.
Yeah,
I think it's just fake. They're actually advertisements that someone has taken out to advertise and show you and tell you that there's a virus on your computer
on your phone.
Sorry, and you know it's a classic scam,
yeah.
But that's all it is. It's just somebody scamming you in ads.
Right.
It's not something that's actually running on the phone.
Now, your phone is using your own Wi-Fi and you've configured OpenDNS on your Wi-Fi, guess what wouldn't have popped up? Probably. That warning.
Okay.
That warning most likely wouldn't have been allowed to even be sent to you because you would have been on the proper DNS to avoid
okay.
those scammy type of pop-ups. I suspect you're using your own internal Wi-Fi when you're on and getting these pop-ups?
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm using the Wi-Fi Frontier, which is, you know, what's on our computer.
Right. So if you configured OpenDNS, it would have not allowed most likely that advertisement or that bad link to even be displayed to you. So I can say with a pretty good confidence you don't have a virus and that if you ever clicked on that, it would have given you fake instructions to take advantage of you. So my best recommendation is to try to figure out how to get OpenDNS configured on your system so you don't get presented with these types of scams as much. It's not foolproof,
okay.
but it's going to help.
Now, the OpenDNS, is that something I configure on the computer or on the phone?
No, neither. You actually configure it in your router.
The thing from Frontier.
Or, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever the access point is that's distributing internet to your house, it's going to be configured in there, and it's going to hand out instructions to all of your devices all the time to use OpenDNS for DNS lookups, and that should intercept some of these bad sites.
Yep.
That are hosting the ads that are telling you falsely that you have a virus.
Right.
Okay.
All right, Lucille. You could always try to ask Frontier to help you. They could configure OpenDNS for you and or Cloudflare. That's another good
Cloudflare will work, yeah.
DNS option. You just want to ask them to help you configure a secure DNS versus the junk garbage they're sending you right now. You can say it that way.
Okay.
They may not understand what you mean, but you want a more secure DNS, not the junk they're selling you. And don't have them charge you extra to offer you this type of stuff. It's free. There's no right now. Cisco doesn't charge for it.
Okay.
And you're not a commodity for it. You're just part of the interwebs that are explaining to them where people are going. So don't worry about that.
Right. Okay.
All right, Lucille.
Great. We'll do that. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, it can be disconcerting when someone tells you, you know, I got a good friend who was told by their employer that they have filed unemployment.
Oh, right.
With the Connecticut Department of Labor, which we've talked about this a bazillion times.
Yes.
And of course, the employer checks with the employee and said, hey, did you apply for unemployment? And the employee is saying, I still work here, right? So, so the answer is no, I didn't. So obviously somebody took enough information because the Connecticut Department of Labor's website, which has been happening for years, ever since it was released, seems to make it real easy if you have just a couple of pieces of information to submit an unemployment claim on your behalf, Dennis, even though you're still working. Here's the kicker that really, really, really irks me. Now that that person has been a victim of the Connecticut Department of Labor's website allowing for the other person to submit the claim, the victim in the future, if ever they actually have a real claim, Dennis, guess what they must do? They must go to one of the 6 or 7 offices and
prove their identity, yeah.
So, hey, Connecticut Department of Labor, why don't you start with that first? Why make the victim have to do it? Why don't you make it more difficult for the bad guys to just take a few pieces of information that already exist on the dark web, and you know it exists out there on the dark web. For some reason, you're allowing whatever they're doing to give them the ability to submit a claim. Why don't you reverse it? Reverse the script. Make them come in. I know you hate talking to people, but making the victim come in when they ever have to do this is really kind of asinine. You know, let's start by locking it down in the first place. You know, am I asking too much, Dennis?
No, you're not.
I mean, if I'm unemployed, I got some time on my hands. I can make my way to the office and say, it's me. Here's my stuff. Why are you making it so easy for the bad guys and so difficult for the victims? It's backwards. As Clark Howard used to say, customer no service. I miss Clark. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to stick around. Joel and Karen, hang on. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and are part of the Computer Talk with Tab listener network, it's a private network. We only make it private because we don't want you to be spammed with a bunch of junk by making it public. So you just have to ask to be a member. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. And if you want to follow us on X over at Tab Computer Sys, all of our links will get there as well. And of course, we are simulcast on both YouTube and the Facebooks at the same time. And now we are on Spotify. So if you haven't signed up for our podcast using some other method of podcast subscription, you can get it through Spotify at zero cost. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back, and we're here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you, and we wanted to give you a quick story before you go to your calls.
Very quick. We've been talking about Windows 10 being phased out in October this year.
October 14th,
getting
Dennis.
Ready for what you're going to do.
Yep.
Well, just a couple of months ago, Windows 11 finally overtook Windows 10 on the market.
Ah.
So, you know, that was kind of an achievement 4 years after it was released.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that now that the end of Windows 10 is coming just a couple months from now.
Yes, yes.
Windows 10 has upticked in popularity again.
Really?
And there's more of it being deployed than Windows 11 right now as I speak.
Wow. How much?
Very small percentage. It's like 3% increase in Windows 10 seats. But
they're deploying
it's still going out. People are still deploying it. I can't believe this.
It's a 10-year-old operating system.
And it's going away in a couple of months. So what are people doing? Setting up new Windows 10 computers.
Yes. Could it be the third world doing it? Or do we think it's in America?
It's a worldwide count.
So it could be anywhere.
Yeah, it could be anywhere.
Interesting, Dennis. Most likely those licenses fell off a truck somewhere. I'm guessing. But I wouldn't know. All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Joel in Simsbury first. What's going on, Joel?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Appreciate your show, and I appreciate all the information from the prior caller about getting a new laptop.
Sure, good.
I've got one that's about 6 years old, and I'm like, okay.
Yep.
But anyway, I have a question. I'm not sure if I've got all my terminology right. I have Xfinity, and I stream YouTube TV. And I have a Netgear Nighthawk modem,
yeah.
and I have a TP-Link router, TP-Link Deco router.
Mm-hmm.
So in the area, Xfinity has said, we've upgraded your speed, but we can't because I own the modem and I own the router.
Yep.
It goes, well, we don't recognize we have new speed in the area. We don't recognize your equipment. So I don't know if I should be going online. Is there a way to update, my Netgear and my Deco so that I could use the new speed that they don't recognize, I guess?
That's a great question.
Well, it may be that the modem that you've got doesn't support, DOSIS 3.1 now?
Something
is that the current thing?
Yeah.
It might just support 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you would need to replace it in order to get support for that higher level of speed. Yeah.
What is the speed, Joel? What do you have now?
I might be getting my 300 megabytes.
You get 300 now. Is it just how many folks in your family that are using the service?
Everything's working fine. It's really just me.
Okay. So you don't have to change it out. If you're running 300 megabits and you're happy with it, you're not going to, I can guarantee you YouTube TV is not going to look any better, on a higher speed.
Yeah.
So you could leave it as it is. And whenever your modem fails, then you will get the newer speed by putting it in. Now, the other drawback is, let's say for some reason, I highly doubt this, but let's say they're giving you a gigabit of speed.
Yes.
It may be that your firewall and your access points can't even handle that bandwidth. So you could put the new modem in and then find out your firewall is just choking it back anyways because it's so old it can't handle that throughput. That's called the LAN-WAN throughput. You need to have the proper LAN-WAN throughput on your firewall in order to take advantage of whatever bandwidth you're getting. So you could change the modem out and still have the exact result is what I'm saying. So if you're happy with 300 megabits, and for you, I would suspect that's plenty for one person. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's never turning off any. It's like drinking from a fire hose. 300 megabits for what you're doing is like drinking from a fire hose. So you're good until you need to change it. I will tell you, though, TP-Link's firewalls are not very secure. There's been all sorts of stories about them that I would be worried about. I would look into that first. Make sure you've updated the firmware on that thing. Make sure you're running OpenDNS on that thing. Change the password on that thing. But TP-Link firewalls are definitely in the news in not a good way.
All right. I have an app for the TP-Link Deco, so I keep updating that. But I don't have an app on my phone for the Netgear Nighthawk modem. Should I be updating that modem too?
No.
If it's a modem, there wouldn't be anything really to manage.
Okay.
So you wouldn't need it.
But the app on your phone being updated is not the same as updating the firmware on your firewall. So you want to go into your firmware of your firewall and make sure that's the latest. Make sure you've got a separate password, not the default one that came out of the box, and double check to see if those TP-Link that you're using happens to be part of the issue of TP-Link firewalls in general.
Okay. So the firewall is on the Deco, is that right? The TP-Link, have I got that right?
I think so.
We agree with you, yeah, unless it's backwards with the Nighthawk. So if you give us the actual models of each, we can talk about it further because we have no calls after the news here. So if you want to double check the models, numbers off the hardware, we'll double check it for you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. You need the models for the Netgear and for the Deco, right?
Yes, so we can know what the heck you're talking about. We're going to put you on hold as you get that, okay?
Great, thank you.
You got it. So Joel's going to go check that out and we'll help him out, and we're going to help you out, too. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. I know this band. I just can't think of it right now. We're going to get right back to Joel. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Fallout Boy. Good job. All right. Let's go to Joel in Simsbury to see what he's got again for hardware.
Okay, yes. Thank you. I had a chance to tip these things over. So the The modem is a Netgear Nighthawk voice cable modem CM500V.
Yeah, that's definitely a modem then, yep.
Okay, and the TP-Link Deco is an M4R whole home mesh Wi-Fi system.
Okay. All right, that makes perfect sense. And I just looked it up. That modem, that Netgear modem, is DOCSIS 3.0, not 3.1. So, okay. Yeah, it isn't going to handle the highest level of speed. On the flip side, we looked at the specs for the TP-Link Deco, and that does support high-speed internet inside your house.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Wi-Fi 7, which is...
Well, one I was looking at is a Wi-Fi 7, but that was the Deco BE63.
Oh, right.
Okay. He's got the M4, so it might be older too, but that is your firewall. And so within that, you would configure OpenDNS, make sure that firmware is updated. So you typically would log into the default gateway. So if you look at your IP config, if you do IP config, you just type that into a command prompt, you will see what your gateway is, your gateway IP. That is that device. And so you'd be able to then go to a browser, type in that IP address, and it should bring up that Deco login. You'd log in, go ahead and check the updated firmware, make sure it is up to date, and then configure OpenDNS while you're in there. And that way you're going to be at least more secure because TP-Link does have some issues.
Okay, but at least this M4R is not a big problem, right?
TP-Link does have some issues.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you, Joel. It's in the news. I don't know that specific model, but while we're talking about it, just get it updated so at least you have the latest firmware.
It's Wi-Fi 5, actually.
Yeah, it's a little older.
It's a little bit older. It'll technically, it can handle up to 800 megabits, but that would be system-wide, and not each device is going to get that much throughput.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got it, Joel.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, firewalls and technology, some of them are in the news lately and some of them aren't. But they all will be. Let's go on to Rich in Naugatuck. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, so I have an older Windows laptop, and I'm thinking, I don't use it anymore. It's slower and so forth. I was thinking about learning or tinkering with changing it over to a Linux operating system.
Okay.
And yeah. I understand that there's lots of different versions out there, some easier to use than others, and so that's kind of where I'm at. So from a beginner standpoint, what do you suggest?
All right. Number one.
And by the way, excuse me, just how do I download or get this stuff? Is it off the web?
That's half the fun. The geeks say it's half the fun here. That's
all right. Here we go. Number one, I just want to know how old the computer is.
Probably is it about 12?
12 years old?
Yeah, maybe a little younger than that, but we'll say it's pretty old.
Okay. I was originally going to recommend something called Ubuntu as your version of Linux. Mm-hmm. Instead, I'm going to recommend a variation of Ubuntu, which you're not going to be able to tell the difference, but it's just a different distribution, and it is geared toward older equipment. It's called Lubuntu. Ubuntu with an L on the front, and we'll post a link to it, okay?
Okay.
Now, number one, that's the version of Linux that I think you should install on this machine. You should enjoy it. Number two.
If you're weird.
Ubuntu is cool, man.
Weird. I'm weird.
All right, good.
I accept that.
All right.
The second thing you're going to need to do is you're gonna get a very large file to download the operating system and then install it. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to use to get it onto the machine? Well, what you're going to do is use a product called Balena Etcher. Okay?
Uh-oh. I've never heard of that. What's that?
It is a very small little program that can write bootable USB sticks. Okay? So what you're going to do is you're going to download the copy of Lubuntu. It'll be a very large ISO file.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to install Balena Etcher on the computer that you're using to create the USB stick. And you're going to run that, and you're going to install that ISO file on that USB stick. All right? It'll write it. It'll make it bootable. Then you walk over to the computer that you're going to install Ubuntu on, stick it in, power it up, and have it boot to the USB stick.
Right.
And then you go through the installation process.
That's a BIOS setting.
And one more thing.
Uh-oh.
One more thing.
No, are you still enjoying it?
It's not an uh-oh. It's just another little caveat.
Yes.
When you start the process of installing Ubuntu, you're going to have to clear the drive on the computer you're installing it on and have it create new partitions for that operating system.
So wipe it.
So you're going to wipe it. But during that installation wizard, you have to stop in that process and you have to go through a couple of extra steps to have it repartition that drive. And it will blow away anything that's on the drive. So just make sure you don't need anything. Yeah. Make sure you backed everything up first.
So you're prepping on a current computer.
Correct.
Prepping on a current computer, Rich. You're going to prep the USB stick on a current computer and then bring it over to this 12-year-old machine and do this work. We'll put the link up to how to do this. And most likely the tools that Dennis talked about have instructions. The Etcher software has probably some instructions, and Ubuntu too. We'll give you a good source to get it, and so once you have it running, what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. I told you I'm weird.
That's what.
Well, you know, I mean, I've been listening to you guys for over a decade, I guess. I don't know. I mean, from my beginning. So you know, and I've asked Windows questions over the years and things like that. But anyway, the point is that. Now I'm going to move on to the next, I don't know, or maybe drop down to the next level. I don't know what it's going to find out, but I thought I'd play.
I love it. No, it's great. I'm just curious. I thought maybe you had a purpose. So yeah, you got your Ubuntu operating system and then the world's your oyster.
All right. Yeah, I would appreciate that link because you've got a couple of things in there I'm completely unaware of, and this will be a first go round with it. By the way, when you said about wiping the drive on the old computer, I can just format that, or what's your suggestion there?
Well, during the install program for Ubuntu, there's going to be a point where it's going to ask you where you're going to store the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And in there is a dialogue that will allow you to clear the drive that's in there.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just telling you to be aware of that, because if you try to proceed with it the way that it's set up, it's not going to allow it. It's going to tell you there's no room.
Right.
But it's not that there's no room, it's that there's no open partition for it to use.
Yes, right, understood that. I understand the partitioning, so I get that. Okay.
All right. Cool, Rich.
All right.
Yeah, and it's a graphic interface, so you'll see how to do it.
Yeah. Well, next week I may tell you said help, but we'll see.
Call me. I'll help you.
We'll be here. We'll be at our world headquarters collecting 12-year-old garbage computers that people don't use for this type of stuff.
Okay, there you go.
All right, Rich. Good luck.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. I'll look for that link. Absolutely, appreciate it, man.
Our pleasure.
Have a good day.
You
Bye
too.
Now.
I love the true geeks. So he's a geek, right? Obviously, wants to get in there, figure this out, and to understand Linux is a good thing.
It is. I mean, we joke about it, but I actually have a Linux laptop that I use all the time.
Well,
I like it.
You're a geek too. so it makes perfect sense. That's why you're on the show with me. This is cool stuff. And if you can understand how this is where we all started back when the show started back in 1995, you know, formatting drives, proper drive geometry, setting up partitions, all this low level stuff that really doesn't happen that much anymore these days. With the current operating systems that are out there, it all happens, but it happens so easily. Whereas before, it was like, okay, what do I got to put in for the drive geometry? Gosh, what were those three settings? There's three settings you had to set in there:
sectors per disk, and then there were reading heads.
Yeah,
I know.
But you had to know it. It wasn't like automatic. Yeah. You actually had to take a table off the drive and actually know what you were setting the geometry to.
Yeah, there would be an insert that comes with the drive, and it would have all those numbers for you.
And if you didn't set it up right, it wouldn't work right. So,
and if you didn't get the little piece of paper with the numbers on it, you couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, and there was no interwebs the way we have them now. So you're calling tech support at Seagate, which that was a thing. Let's go try to get a call in here before Carolyn gives me a hard time. Let's go to Susan in Lebanon. What's going on, Susan?
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, it started last night. I have Spectrum.
Yep.
Wi-Fi. I have no cable. And through Spectrum, I then have a TV with a Roku stick.
Nice.
And so I guess I'm getting the TV through streaming.
Yes.
And last night, a couple of times, you know, I'd turn on for the program, and it was, first there was like you could see two things on a screen, and I couldn't exit out of it. I couldn't get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to be, what do you call it, like very slow, and, you know, the one screen was still hung up, and then a new screen popped up, but then nothing would go forward, and you couldn't watch anything.
Yeah.
So I kept shutting it off, turning it back on.
What? What were you turning off and on?
I was turning off and on through the Roku stick, the TV.
All right.
I double-checked the connections, made sure the internet, which is the Spectrum equipment, which I got the fastest one.
Yeah.
The tower they gave me just the other day, like about 2 weeks ago now,
yep.
maybe 3 weeks ago, they gave me this tower that's supposed to be the fastest one compared to the one I had gotten a year before.
Mm-hmm.
That was a solid blue line on it, so I knew it was connected.
Did you reboot
it? So we unplugged it.
And, all right, good.
Well, to reboot it, is if you unconnect it and it's blinking, we rebooted it.
That'll do it.
If you is that the way to reboot it?
Well, you can turn if you unplug it
and connect.
Unplugging it will do it. And you take it from the power, or there's a power button usually on these things. That's what I'm looking at, like power cycling it, turning it off and on.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we did turn that off and on.
All right, good.
And so then it went, you know, we went through the flashing cycle and then went solid. Eventually, don't ask me why, but it did come on and was able to operate.
Sure.
This morning, starting around 8 o'clock, you know, got up to turn on, hear the weather, and sure enough, it came on and it showed the Roku selection when I go pick the app for Fox 61 News.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter which one I picked, it just would get hung up.
Yeah.
It would let me pull up the the first app, but then the second one would just stay there and it wouldn't move at all.
I think your Roku is failing.
You think my Roku is failing?
Yep, I think your Roku is failing. They do fail.
Does it really only last for less than a year?
Sometimes. There's this little sticks of like an Android operating system. They're not like some monster powerful thing. My thought is that. So because your internet's brand new, if you're able to get on your phone, can you take the apps and put them on your phone and stream? No problem?
I didn't try that.
Okay. That's an easy test.
The other thing I had the question was, is that when I was in at Spectrum, the manager, and I said, only if I'm going to keep the same speed, the manager said he could save me some money, input because of some of the problems I was having.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want to bait and switch. I don't want you saying you're saving me money, but I'm getting a slower speed. And I had like the fastest speed that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if it could be that.
No, it shouldn't be a speed issue. So if the manager is going to try to offer you a streaming device, which is probably what they want to do, they want to offer you some sort of streaming solution box to replace your Roku because they're very interested in what you're watching and they have no idea what you're watching when you're using a Roku device. They want to make their money on knowing what Susan watches. So that would be what they're offering. I suspect your Roku, your streaming device, is having an issue. To prove it out, put some of the apps you use on your cell phone, use the stream, see if it works. If it works really well, I think Roku has their own app you can do too, and try it on your phone. If it all works well, it means it's not the internet. It has to do with your Roku device. And that would be my guess that it's having a problem of some kind.
So why would my Roku work on my phone, which is a stick, but not if I put it on my phone? I'm confused.
Well, because you're using your phone's technology to do the actual streaming versus the Roku stick. So that's why I'm trying to figure out if the Roku stick is having the problem, which I think it is.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay, and so if he put me into a slower...
No, don't have anything with slower internet. I would think he's trying to offer you a streaming box of some kind. I would Don't change your internet
speed.
He
didn't offer that to me. I already have whatever the box is for Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And then the other thing, I don't know. There's two things.
Yep.
One's like, I think the
modem.
And then there's something else.
Right.
That I guess it hooks up to the. I call it cable still.
That's okay. It is cable. So you're good there. I would tell you to look at a different Roku and just buy one, plug it in, see if it works better. If it does, that's your problem.
There is one other thing that she could do with the Roku.
Real quick, because we're running out of time.
Do a factory reset on it.
There you go.
And start over, and then see if it behaves differently.
We can put a link as to how you do that, Susan, and start fresh.
That would be great.
Yeah. All right, Sue. We got to go.
Where would I find that?
On computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works.
Computer Talk with Ted.
Tab. Who's Ted?
Oh, I thought you said Ted.
Tab, T-A-B. All right, we got to go. Okay. Hope that helps you.
Thank you very much for helping me. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Ted, I guess. I'm Eric.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm Dennis.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. No, it's Computer Talk with Tab, T-A-B, as in the soda.
That they don't make anymore. I know,
but we have cans at Tab somewhere. It's crazy. We're going to get right to your calls here. We're going to go to Larry in Middlefield next. What's going on, Larry? We're running out of time here. What can we do for you?
Yeah, good morning, all. Larry in Middlefield. Xfinity. I have Comcast Xfinity.
Yep.
And advertise super fast Wi-Fi. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the Wi-Fi is coming off my router to my PCs around the house here.
Yeah.
So what are they trying to, because it's copper coming in, what are they trying to sell?
Right.
Is it Wi-Fi out there someplace?
No, they're confusing people.
They are yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah. What they're doing is they've got Wi-Fi in their own hardware that's in your house that's at the other end of their cable, which is the only signal that they send.
Right.
Okay. But because the Wi-Fi is on, it's being radiated out from their device, they're claiming that it's their Wi-Fi. It's actually yours because it's inside your house, and that's all that it is. It's not coming in over the air from outside.
My mother-in-law, who just moved to town, who I've got to help paint today, had the exact same thing happen to her. They tried to sell her Wi-Fi on top of her internet service, which I'm like, don't do that. You don't need any kind of, what was it? It was a 3D or some stupid thing I've ever heard of. And so they're going to charge her another $16 or $18 a month. And I told her, no, don't do anything. Of course, the Wi-Fi is on the box as it is. No extra need for, what was it called? It was just some marketing gimmick. You just have to pay for internet service. Most likely the modem they're going to give you is going to include Wi-Fi. Do not pay any extra for it.
No.
And basically, if you want your own Wi-Fi and your own router, you can do that too.
Yeah, you can have your own access point slash router.
But the copper is exactly that, and then they don't ever have them charge you extra for Wi-Fi because it's like charging you twice for the same service.
Right. That's my router's almost 10 years old, ironically, but it's fine so far.
Yep.
But, I consider that fraud.
Well,
because don't charge me extra money in my house for what's coming out of my router.
I hear you, and that's up to how they market their stuff. But you know, whatever it is, we have to be smart consumers about it. And that's all we're trying to do here is make sure that you understand that you don't have to pay for the same thing twice. And even the whole bandwidth thing, you know, these internet companies try to sell you 1,000 megabits or a gigabit of bandwidth for somebody, a family of five. You don't need it. It's like drinking from three fire hoses at the same time. You only need a couple hundred megabits of bandwidth. And imagine if we all did that, you'd be looking at $29 internet bills because they bill you by the bandwidth. So it's crazy. I appreciate you calling there, Larry, but we're out of time. Hope that helps.
Yeah, this is another thing, you know. Well, I won't elaborate on the radio.
Be careful. You got to be careful out there, Larry.
I'm a long-time listener to the show.
We appreciate that, sir.
Okay.
All right, take it easy. All right. So be careful out there is what Larry's noticing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at our Facebook page and on X. I want to thank Carolyn for producing and doing a lovely job. As always, next Saturday, we are live at TAB World Headquarters, taking in your e-cycling. Has nothing to do with bikes. We're going to pick up all of your electric equipment that you want to get rid of. Feel free to drop it off for free at our world headquarters in East Hartford on Bissell Street. And there's a link on our website at computertalkwithtab.com.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you next Saturday.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.